Blog Talk Radio.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الرحمن الرحيم. مالك يوم الدين. إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين. اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Latifa A. Hamid, the CEO for American Muslim 360, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice is protected.
The views expressed by the host guests are their own and not necessarily the position of AM360 or the parent corporation, the Community-Wide Shura Conference, CWSC Incorporated. AM360 content is intended as a community service and is not designed to provide specific personal, medical, financial, or legal counsel or other professional advice, and no liability shall extend to the hosts or hostesses of AM360 or CWSC. We encourage you to seek an advisor for your specific circumstance.
Community-Wide Shura Conference and American Muslim 360 invites you to promote your organization or event on the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected. Affordable rates allow you to promote your event, product, or service and strengthen our national intelligentsia network. Contact corporate underwriting today at info@cwsc.us. That's info@cwsc.us. Or call 910-317-0297. Again, 910-317-0297. Together we can remake the world.
Assalamu alaikum. This is your brother Kareem Hamid inviting you to join in the study group of the lecture of Imam Waqifuddin Muhammad Rahimahullah Alayhi, broadcast Saturday morning at 6 a.m. Central Standard Time here on American Muslim 360. The first hour, we shall play a lecture or address from Imam Waqifuddin Muhammad Rahimahullah Alayhi, and in the second hour, we shall open up the telephone line and share with each other the various beneficial points of interest contained in the lecture or address. So join the study group of the lectures of Imam Waqifuddin Muhammad Rahimahullah Alayhi on the evolution of revolutionary thought and created purpose every Saturday at 6 a.m. Central Standard Time on American Muslim 360. Let's share. Thank you. Alhamdulillah.
We begin with Allah's name. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lahu. Ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluhu. Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. Nasta'inuhu, nastaghfiruhu wa nu'minu bihi azza wa jalla. We begin with Allah's name, most merciful benefactor, most merciful redeemer. I bear witness there is no God save Allah alone. and that there's nothing worthy of worship or praise except Almighty God Allah. And I further bear witness that Muhammad, to whom the Quran was revealed, is indeed Almighty God's most humble servant and most noble and generous messenger. All the praise is due to Almighty God Allah. We ask him for help. We turn to him for forgiveness. We believe and we trust in him. Mighty and sublime is he. Alhamdulillah, all the praise is due to Allah. As-salamu alaykum, let his peace be unto you, the peace that only Almighty God can give. As we welcome you once more to the broadcast of the evolution of revolutionary thought and creative purpose, I am your host along with you this morning, Kareem Hamid. Praise be to Almighty God, Allah. I'm seeking to engage the group intellect, to engage the group intellect. Almighty God, his presence is mainly felt in the group setting, not just the singular setting, but in the group setting. So I'm seeking to engage the group intellect and to glean from the featured lectures of Imam Muhammad's knowledge, wisdom, and importantly, the direction for a practical application of the principles in our personal and community lives. All well-meaning people are invited and are definitely welcome. Praise be to Almighty God Allah. You know, sometimes we can be experiencing a situation or a circumstance and not understand what was the beginning of that circumstance. What kicked off this situation that a lot of people are experiencing. So sometimes we have to look back in the past. Look back in the past, and that will sometimes shed light on the current circumstances. I'm addressing, and we all should be aware that there has been a drive and a drive to for people wanting to rule the world, the man wanting to rule the world. And we have been experiencing this effort for a long time, for centuries. And we're in a circumstance and a situation now to foster in what they call one world leadership, one world rule. We need to know, where did this idea start? Where did it come from? And what is the best way to view this circumstance? How should we view that? And what does that really mean, a one world order? What does that really mean? And who shall establish or one world order? So some of these things got their beginning a long time ago. We find the revelation of Almighty God. We can find the source of many of the situations and circumstances that the human being is faced with at this time. So I want to share an address with you. It is entitled The Samson Conspiracy. The Samson Conspiracy. And it is very symbolic. There are meanings being explained. There are symbols being broken down in this address. But as we listen to this address, view it in light of the current geopolitical situation or condition that the world is in at this time. View it in that light. For the beginning of a lot of things started thousands of years ago. And we may think, oh, well, this just occurred. No, it's been happening over the millennium. We need to know its source and the function of desiring a one world government. So I want to share with you Imam Muhammad's address, on an address that is entitled The Samson Conspiracy. The Samson Conspiracy. And as you listen, have part of your mind reflecting on what is currently happening in the life of human beings. The quality of this tape is not really what I would desire, but it's such that we can get a clear message from it. But as the tape continues, it really gets distorted, and we won't go into that portion of it. But what is clear and what is being given is very important, and it's very clear. And may we have our thinking caps on, please, and keep your mind abreast of current circumstances, of current situations, current circumstances. I'm looking at this in lieu of what is occurring in what they call the Middle East, the Middle East. I'm looking at what is occurring in the Middle East and how come the world has not moved to stop what has been definitely identified as a genocide, not only in the Middle East, but also in the country of Sudan. There is a horrendous, horrendous slaughter occurring in the country of Sudan. Also, the Democratic Republic of Congo. There is a civil war going on that is raging, and there is a great loss of civilian life and a very heavy refugee situation, a refugee problem. People have had to flee their homes, and try to seek shelter in other areas of the country or even go to another country due to the civil war that is raging in Sudan, in the Democratic Republic of Congo, in Gaza, Ethiopia. So all of these wars, we need to have some idea of the motivation and the beginning of this type of thinking of wanting to rule the world. So I ask you if you will please have your thinking cap on and be willing to reflect on the past to show light in the present. Reflect means that it sends light. Light bounces off of one thing and it sheds its light on another. That's a reflection. So praise be to Allah. We hope that you can profit much from this address, and I shall periodically pause this address, and I want to elicit your thinking and your statements in regards to what we are presenting this morning. It is an address entitled The Samson Conspiracy. I hope that it's clear enough and audible enough that we all can get a clear reception of this wonderful address. So I am Kareem Hamid, your host this morning, and let me begin the lecture. It is entitled The Samson Conspiracy. The Samson Conspiracy. Let me chew it up. Okay.
Let's go on now. Samson, before he married this woman, he gave a riddle to her people. Is that right? His riddle went like this. Out of the eater, E-A-T-E-R, eater, the eater come forth meat, and out of the stone come forth sweetness. Now let us think on this riddle. This was, I think, the first riddle that he gave us. He gave another riddle. We're going to get to that. Out of the eater, the one who consumes food, come meat. That is a riddle. That is a riddle, I'm telling you. The knowledge is so disordered, it's so taken out of proper arrangement that it really baffles. The fellows just throw the approach out. You know, you can't approach it. It defeats the approach to get some understanding out of this. Out of the eater comes meat. We think of people who put meat in their mouth. Eat. Out of the eater comes meat. Yes. Out of the cow who eats the grain comes not only milk but meat. And what does the New Testament say? That the milk is for those babies, who are babies. The meat is for those who are grown up in the knowledge. Isn't that Paul speaking in the New Testament? Oh, yeah. So he said, out of the ether comes meat. Not only milk, this cow that eats up everything, it don't produce only milk, produce meat too. And he says, out of the stone comes sweetness. What was he telling them? He was giving them a blueprint, a scheme for rule, for mighty rule. Let's go on now. When he explained the riddle to them, and I believe he did explain the riddle, you Bible students and pastors, you know better than me on this. I don't know if the Bible says he explained the riddle or not, but I do know it was explained to them. When he explained the riddle to them, they readily consented to give him what he wanted. Now, what did he want in exchange? If they were not able to break his riddle and he had to give it to them, he wanted something in exchange. What he wanted was promise. He wanted the same thing that he promised them if they were able to break his riddle. Is that right? Yes, some of you are not familiar with it, but he promised, his promise to them was that he would give them 30 sheep and 30 changes of garments, 30 fresh changes, new changes of garments, if they were able to break it. And he said if they were not able to do it, they should give him the same. This was a bargain for their society. He was bargaining with them for their society. Then I'm going to give you a secret knowledge, a secret scheme. But if you accept it, then you give me your society. My scheme is going to give you 30 sheep and 30 new changes of garments. Now, I want you to give it to me the same, meaning that we are going to be equal partners in this. Actually, I'm giving you nothing. Listen, you're going to have it, but it's going to be mine. That's what he's saying. You're going to have it, but it's going to be mine. Now, I hope a whole lot of people get this tape. Because they're talking about what's happening right here on earth today. Dear people, listen very carefully. And this riddle them 30 changes of garments, new changes of garments, and 30 feet. And he said, if you can't break my will, you give me a thing. This is what that means. It means that he gave them a special knowledge. They didn't know that that special knowledge was symbolic. It had a riddle to it. The language doesn't tell you this, what I'm saying now, but this is the truth. They didn't know that it had a riddle to it, that it had to be interpreted farther than what it was interpreted to them by the giver. And what he's saying is that you will get it, but I'm going to be the possessor of it because I know the answers you don't. I'm going to give it to you, but you are not going to know the answers. I know the answers. So you want to have, because of me, 30 fresh changes of garments and 30 feet. But they're going to belong to me because I know the riddle and you don't. What is this saying, dear people? It's saying that a crooked movement in Israel gave Europe the Western order of society, gave them Christian society, but did not give them the riddle, the secret knowledge in the Christian doctrine.
Okay. Checking the board, see if anyone has raised their hand. Praise be to Allah. In connection with what the Imam has shared thus far, world history bears witness. Religious history. You know, there is a history connected to religious movement, the spiritual movement. The author of the religion that the Europeans followed, they were not the authors of the religion that they practiced. It didn't come from them. No. The religion that they practiced was given to them by the Jews. Their structure of religion, their perception was given to them by the Jews. The European did not author the concept that they have as for the social order and a way of constructing the society. It did not come from out of them. They was given their religious practices by the religious order of that day. And the religious order of that day, at the head of it, were those that had the Torah. Matter of fact, the Bible was given to the European from the hands of the Jews. From the hands of the Jews. They did not author the Bible. Their concepts, their perception was shaped by the opinion and the concept and the perception that the Jewish leadership gave them. They were a raw people. They were uneducated. They were almost, they were living like savages, barbarians, no principled life. And it is the so-called Christianity that takes on the credit for having civilized and brought them from out of barbarism and savagery. They were almost seen as animals. And it is the religious order of that day was the Jews. And they are the ones that gave Europe its concept of a religious doctrine, a religious order. It came from those that possessed the Torah. It came from the Jews. They see the Christian as their foster child, as their foster child. So I'll stop right there. There is much that we will hear in connection with what I'm currently saying. I'm sharing with you an address entitled the Samson conspiracy. We return back to the address.
Let's go on now. Says that Samson, before he married this woman, he gave a riddle to her people. Is that right? His riddle went like this. Out of the eater, E-A-T-E-R, eater, one who eats. Out of the eater come forth meat. And out of the strong come forth sweetness. Now let us think on this riddle. This was, I think, the first riddle that he gave us. He gave another riddle. We're going to get to that. Out of the eater, the one who consumes food, comes meat. That is a riddle. That is a riddle, I'm telling you. The knowledge is so disordered. It's so taken out of proper arrangement that it really baffles. It throws the approach out. You know, you can't approach it. It defeats the approach to get some understanding out of it. Out of the ether comes meat. We think of people that put meat in their mouth. Eat. Out of the ether comes meat. Yes, out of the cow who eats the grain comes not only milk but meat. And what does the New Testament say? It says the milk is for those babies who are babies. The meat is for those who grown up in the knowledge. Isn't that Paul speaking in the New Testament? Oh, yeah. So he said, out of the ether comes meat. Not only milk. This cow that's eating up everything, they don't produce all their milk. Produce meat, too. And he says, out of the strong comes sweetness. What was he telling them? He was giving them a blueprint, a scheme for rule, for mighty rule. Let's go on now. When he explained the riddle to them, and I believe he did explain the riddle, you Bible students, if that's, you know better than me on this, I don't know if the Bible says he explained the riddle or not, but I do know it was explained to them. When he explained the riddle to them, they readily consented to give him what he wanted. Now, what did he want in exchange? If they were not able to break his riddle, and he had to give it to them, he wanted something in exchange. What he wanted was very cheap. And 30 garments. He wanted the same thing that he promised them if they were able to break his riddle. Is that right? Yes, some of you are not familiar with it, but he promised, his promise to them was that he would give them 30 sheep and 30 changes of garments, 30 fresh changes, new changes of garments, if they were able to break it. And he said if they were not able to do it, they should give him the same. This was a bargain for their society. He was bargaining with them for their society. Then I'm going to give you a secret knowledge, a secret scheme. But if you accept it, then you give me your society. My scheme is going to give you 30 sheep and 30 changes are coming. Now, I want you to give it to me to say, meaning that we are going to be equal partners in this. Actually, I'm giving you nothing. Listen, you're going to have it, but it's going to be mine. That's what he's saying. You're going to have it, but it's going to be mine. Now, I hope a whole lot of people get this tape. Because it's talking about what's happening right here on earth today. Dear people, listen very carefully at this riddle. He promised them 30 changes of garments, but new changes of garments, and 30 feet. And he said, if you can't break my riddle, you give me the same. This is what that means. It means that he gave them a special knowledge. They didn't know that that special knowledge was symbolic, that it had a riddle to it. The language doesn't tell you this, what I'm saying now, but this is the truth. They didn't know that it had a riddle to it, that it had to be interpreted farther than what it was interpreted to them by the giver. And what he's saying is that you will get it, but I'm going to be the possessor of it. Because I know the answer, you don't. I'm going to give it to you, but you are not going to know the answers. I know the answers. So you want to have, because of me, 30 fresh changes of garment and 30 feet. But they're going to belong to me because I know the riddle and you don't. What is this saying, dear people? It's saying that a crooked movement in Israel gave Europe the Western order of society, gave them Christian society, but did not give them the riddle, the secret knowledge in the Christian doctrine. Through that Christian, the secret knowledge in the Christian doctrine, they manipulate the behavior, the mind, the soul makeup of Western society. And whatever Western society gets belongs to that secret minority, that hidden bunch of conspirators. Now, what I'm telling you is not from the protocols of Zion. This is from the understanding that God has blessed me with. And I stand on it with my life. I know it to be a fact. This is no guesswork about a conspiracy. This is a fact about a conspiracy. Now, let us continue. I hope we're still on the telephone hookup. The operator should hear this. What is 30 feet? What do you call these cities of this? You call it also feet. 30 feet means a written book material. What is garment? Garment is the use of that knowledge in the book. We wear the knowledge. We use the knowledge. We protect ourselves with the knowledge of the book. So the sheath means the knowledge. The garments that he will give them is an equal number of the sheath, meaning that they will get the knowledge of how to wear that knowledge. He will give them the knowledge and then tell them how to wear it, how to use it for their protection. All right? Let's continue now. Out of the eater come forth meat. So he told them that there is more than morals in religion. There is more than milk in religion. There is high science in religion. You can't get it out. I know how to get it out. If you will accept for me to give it to you, I'll give you a kingdom that will last. I will give you an eternal tree. I will give you eternal life. You will become as the God. knowing both good and evil. But I'm going to interpret it for you. So you'll have weaker knowledge than what I'm going to keep for myself. What I'm going to give you is going to be something to contain you too. It's pitiful what it's funny too. How the whole European world was tricked, given an ideology that was designed to keep them in the slave grip of the hidden conspirators of Judaism, while at the same time giving them secret knowledge that will enable them, the Gentiles, to hold up in the slave grip of a weaker knowledge. So the Pope with milk is richer than our milk. He drinks a richer milk than our milk. Nevertheless, he drinks milk. The Pope's milk, the Pope's, pardon me, meat, is processed like our meat. But only his is aged a little longer. So it costs more. What does this 30 represent now? 30 represents a complete phase. In other words, he told them, I'm going to give you a reign, a government, a rule. I'm going to give you a rule for a duration. But they don't understand it. What kind of rule is going to be? Sheets and changes of garment. Why have they had all these changes of garment? A change for each sheet. It's because that your rule shall be deceitful. It shall be crooked. It shall give different dress for different people. Some will wear a small dress. Some will wear a murderous dress. Some will represent religion. Some will represent dry logic. I'm going to give you a dress of many changes, 30 changes, one for every period. Whenever a change comes, a new day comes, a new sun, every morning a sun rises up. Whenever a new sun rises up, you're going to have a new garment, one for each day. Sun will go down on you, but I'll show you how to have eternal life. You step out of one dress right into another. Next morning, the one that they condemn won't be the one they see you in. I'm going to show you how to have eternal life. Yes! So they stand up today in the name of white supremacy. Stand up next month or next year, 10 years later, in the name of democracy. Long time ago, it was in the name of Christ. Later on, it's in the name of Karl Marx. Yes. Now it's in the name of Dr. Martin Luther King. In the name of Hitler. Yes. Don't you know the church supported Hitler? I'm not talking about those murderous church, but church people, the church leadership supported Hitler. Yes. So we're going to give you a garment of 30 changes. 30 is the number of days of the month. And it also is the time that it takes the moon to go through complete phase. Moon represents your social life, spiritual, social life. The moon is the new sun. The time that it takes the moon to make to go through its phases, you get approximately 30 suns. Is that right? 30 suns. 30 bodies or 30 concepts of knowledge. Every time they test you in one and light go out on that one, I'll show you how to bring a new knowledge, a new concept. And you'll come out in a different dress, and they'll accept it. This is the kingdom of the devil. This is Satan giving the Western world the kingdom of the devil. But actually, he's not giving them anything, because through his hidden tricks and knowledge, he is really the possessor of it. Let's continue now. 30 sheets, 30 fingers. Another time we see Samson in his great role, he has a jawbone of an ass in his hand. And he's battling the army of the Philistines with the jawbone of the ass. All the meat is off the jawbone. Nothing but the bone. Now you understand that meat is higher knowledge. So with no higher knowledge, just lip power. And tell me, don't these dumb preachers have a whole lot of jaw power?
Check the studio board to see if anyone has pressed one on their phone. I see no one at this time. Praise be to Almighty God. We shall continue the address entitled The Conspiracy, The Samson Conspiracy. We have a raised hand. I'm opening up the mic of 727-741. Please state your name and where you're calling from, please.
Yes, this is Martha Nyla Abdullah calling from St. Petersburg, Florida. And I couldn't help but zoom in. Thank you, Kareem, and greetings of peace to everyone. Couldn't help but zoom in on, as I was listening, I'm going, okay, the knowledge. The first is the eater of the meat and the deliverance of the knowledge, of that higher knowledge. Now, the 30, when you got to the 30, I said, okay, we're in the right field. Meaning, you know, and I'm speaking of the calendar, where it is the knowledge is squeezed in there, hidden. Well, it's obvious to some, but those who are seeing it from the angle of leadership, but it is keeping everyone at bay, and. To keep everyone at bay, as he mentioned, that every 30 days in a new dress, then that And I'm also looking at the 30 from the three forms of our development, the mental, the spiritual, and the physical, the mental and the spiritual, and how that seduction, just open awareness to glare at us when we see what the calendar or what the 30 days encompasses, and to know the history and just getting more deeper into it, but to know the history and the purpose of it, highlighting Rome, highlighting that father image, father meaning leader, and how it controls, the father controls everything, the life and the death of everything, and then the gods that were implemented, the use of those gods, and the images that goes along with it. I'm just going to leave it right there because it definitely tells us to stand on what we've come to understand as belief in one God, and not get caught up in the mangle or the tangle of what has been, but do understand that that we're in it, even though we think we're not. You know, speaking of the calendar of the experiences and the wars and that, as you mentioned at the beginning, the leader of one whole world. And so that information, and I see I'm going on, but that information that is subliminally leading everyone to think that they're strong, but they're really weak. They're really weak because the information that's being shared subliminally is keeping those who are privately in leadership, they're manipulating the whole process. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we know, is in our belief in Allah, but we have to contour our thinking to what comes with the belief in one God. And that says that we have to conform to that which identifies with that oneness. And that is what Prophet Muhammad, prayers and peace be upon him, represents. I'll stop right there. Thank you so much.
You're welcome, Martha. Thank you for your sharing. Praise be to Almighty God. You know, we are aware that interpretation is very important. To give people symbols and edifices, and not share with them the insight of what those symbols truly mean, truly what they truly mean. Those symbols contain knowledge. In reference to what you are referencing, the Julian calendar, most of the days are synonymous to so-called pagan gods, Monday, the moon god, Sunday, the sun god, Thursday, the Thor god,
Wednesday,
so
Wotan's god. Wotan.
Huh?
Mm-hmm. Wednesday for Wotans was a god.
Yes, Wednesday for Wotan, the Odin,
mm-hmm.
You know? And we're still operating under that system. But it even goes deeper than that, that no matter what situation or circumstance that presents itself, these conspirators have clothing for you. A specific mindset, to meet what has been introduced to the society, a different change of clothing, a different change of outlook and perception and perspective and thinking. Who would have thought in 1952 that there would be a question as to what is a female and what is a male. Who would have thought that that would even have been a question? But haven't they designed clothing? Haven't they just designed a way of thinking to accommodate that process that they have ushered in? That they have ushered in? That is a dress. The idea of communism. Communism was born from out of an overbearing religious concept that exploited the common man, the common person, the workers. Communism was ushered in. And there was a dress to fit that. The dress no longer fits, so all right now they all wearing a different dress, and they are preparing the Western world to put on a dress that has no connection with fact, with reality, with logic, with the construction of the creation and the construction of the human being. The Western world has been offered that dress, and they're slowly putting the dress on. Any circumstance, they have a dress for you. Whatever field you are working in, if you're not careful, they will put you in a dress, in a way of thinking that benefits them, that benefits them. Though you labor hard, the fruits of your labor does not benefit you. It goes into the pockets and the coffers of others. I see we have another caller on the line that have raised their hand. Thank you, Martha, for sharing. We shall take our time on this address entitled The Samson Conspiracies. I'm opening up the mic of error code 321-917. Please state your name and where you're calling from, please.
That's DeLacy Umar, Melbourne, Florida. Thank you, ma'am, for sharing. You know, as I was listening at the imam, and it was becoming quite obvious how the religion of Al-Islam is in direct conflict with us conspirators who want to take life into a certain direction. And it's really aligned with the tricks of the devil. When Satan, in the original Quranic presentation of the Shaitan being formed, where he hated that Allah, the Creator, would give the human being responsibility for it, his creation and its own life, and he said, "I'll come at them from their left, their right, their full, behind, from every direction." And you know, I was looking at an address given to a PAC, Political Action Committee, by the leader of Israel, and in this address, he presented the religion. Well, he didn't say the religion. He said Muslims as a threat to world peace, and that it had to be eliminated, because in 50 years or so, it'll be out of hand and it won't be able to be contained. Now this is recorded and available to to when he came to this country, addressing the political action packs of this country. And when you listen to the language, our religion is definitely under attack. And why? Because we bring clarity and the concept of oneness. Oneness for the creator, oneness of the universe, oneness of humanity, oneness, a straight focus that's very clearly works against all these concepts and ideas and riddles and you name it. This one, this idea of Tawheed, such a dominating focus for the human spirit, mind, spirit, body, and spirit to have a concept of oneness. And I just stop there. Thank you. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam. Thank you. Imam Balezi Omar, praise be to Allah. Thank you for your sharing and calling our attention to the words of the Prime Minister of Palestine. Okay, I want to move forward and be addressed. If there's anyone, well, first let me share with you a public service announcement before we move forward. And I ask you, don't touch that dial. We'll be back in a while, God willing, inshallah.
See the full picture.
Feel the void.
Read the Muslim Journal.
Bringing humanity together.
It's news with truth.
It's journalism with understanding.
Each week, Muslim Journal features the latest headline stories. Get a fresh perspective on American politics with informative editorials on the news and stories that affect you and your community the most. Muslim Journal also features exciting reports from around the globe. Subscribe to the Muslim Journal and stay informed about the world we live in today.
See the full picture.
Subscribe to the Muslim Journal today.
Praise be to Almighty God. May we subscribe to the Muslim Journal. That is our newspaper. That is how we can continue to communicate with each other. You know, there is a war going on. There is a war going on. Imam Muhammad advised us, when you develop strategy, use the strategies of war. War has been forced upon the human being. The human being. You know, it's bad to have an enemy and not aware that you have an enemy. The war began when the Satan said, I shall assault this man that you are making. That is the whole of humanity. I shall assault him from his left. That's an extreme. From his right, that's an extreme. From right in his face, that's an extreme. Behind his back, I will lie in wait for him. On your straight way, I shall lie in wait for him on the mustaqim and divert him from the straight way. I shall lie in wait for him I shall get in the religion and control his spirit, control his emotions, control his energies, control his productive qualities due to the doctrine that we're introducing to the world. But only I know its proper interpretation. They don't. They're just reacting to what has been given them. And it does not meet the test of logic and reason and rationale. Okay, let me move forward and continue with this address entitled The Samson Conspiracy. Okay, here we go.
Through that Christian, the secret knowledge in the Christian doctrine,
hidden bunch of conspirators. Now, what I'm telling you is not from the protocols of Zion. This is from the understanding that God has blessed me with. And I stand on it with my life. I know it to be a fact. This is no guesswork about a conspiracy. This is a fact about a conspiracy. Now, let us continue. I hope we're still on the telephone hookup. The operator should hear this. What is 30 feet? What do you call these stages of this? You call it also heat. 30 feet means a written book. Book material. What is garment? Garment is the use of that knowledge in the book. We wear the knowledge. We use the knowledge. We protect ourselves with the knowledge of the book. So the sheath means the knowledge. The garments that he will give them is the equal number of the sheath, meaning that they will get the knowledge of how to wear that knowledge. He will give them the knowledge and then tell them how to wear it, how to use it for their protection. All right? Let's continue now. Out of the eater come forth meat. So he told them that there is more than morals in religion. There is more than milk in religion. There is high science in religion. You can't get it out. I know how to get it out. If you will accept for me to give it to you, I'll give you a kingdom that will last. I will give you an eternal tree. I will give you eternal life. You will become as the God, knowing both good and evil. But I'm going to interpret it for you. So you'll have weaker knowledge than what I'm going to keep for myself. What I'm going to give you is going to be something to contain you too. It's pitiful, but it's funny too. How the whole European world was tricked, given an ideology that was designed to keep them in the slave grip of the hidden conspirators of Judaism. While at the same time giving them secret knowledge that will enable them, the Gentiles, to hold up in slave grip of a weaker knowledge. So the Pope with milk is richer than our milk. He drinks a richer milk than our milk. Nevertheless, he drinks milk. The Pope's milk, the Pope, pardon me, meat is processed like our meat. But only his is aged a little longer, so it costs more. What does this 30 represent now? 30 represents a complete page. In other words, he told them, I'm going to give you a reign, a government, a rule. I'm going to give you a rule for a duration. But they don't understand it. What kind of rule is going to be? Sheets and changes of garment. Why have they have all these changes of garment? A change for each sheet. It's because that your rule shall be deceitful. It shall be crooked. It shall give different dress for different people. Some will wear a small dress. Some will wear a crooked, a murderous dress. even some will represent biologic, I'm going to give you a dress of many changes, 30 changes, one for every period. Whenever a change comes, a new day comes, a new sun, every morning the sun rises up. Whenever a new sun rises up, you're going to have a new garment. One for each day. Sun will go down on you, but I'll show you how to have eternal life. You'll step out of one dress right into another. Next morning, the one that they condemn won't be the one they see you in. I'm going to show you how to have eternal life. Yes! So they stand up today in the name of white supremacy. Stand up next month or next year or 10 years later in the name of democracy. Long time ago, it was in the name of Christ. Later on, it's in the name of Karl Marx. Yes. Now it's in the name of Dr. Martin Luther King. In the name of Hitler. Yes. Don't you know the church supported Hitler? I'm not talking about those murders, church, but church people, church leadership supported Hitler.
I want to give a brief commentary on that. You know, I remember Imam Muhammad stating some years ago that it is the ungodly Jew, those that call themselves Jew, the ungodly that financed Hitler and supported his movement. And you might say, well, what was the reason for that? With the atrocities that Hitler committed on the God-fearing Jews, they were not the author of the behavior of Hitler. It was the ungodly Jews that financed Hitler. And due to the great mistreatment, the great slaughter of the God-fearing, just regular Jews, the conspirators gained the sympathy of the whole world. They keep the Holocaust before our face, before our eyes. And they were successful at gaining the sympathy of the whole world to support their movement. This is the Zionist movement. This is, how can I put it? And the Jews are not, well, they are, but not directly the author of Zionism. This is that mind, praise be to God. This is that mind that existed even in the life of the prophet Jesus. We pray the prayers and the peace upon him. This is that mind that existed that was found in the sacred precincts, the money changers, defiling the sacredness of the religious environment, the religious life. They're motivated by materialism and greed. And Jesus was successful at, it says that him and his followers went into the temple and they kicked over the money changers' tables and ran them from out of the temple. But they didn't kill them. That mind still existed. It is the same mind that gave Moses so much trouble. The same mind that suggested to the people, let's build a gold calf and complained to Moses, we cannot continue to just ingest this moral teaching that you are giving us. We want this world. We want the things of this world. That is that same mind that existed among them. That is that same mind that is in existence today. And they utilize the nature of the human being. They were able to garner sympathy and support for their scheme. But their scheme is being exposed now. The world is waking up that this is not representative of the spiritual order. But for a long time, they held sway over the whole, just mention Israel, just mention the Holocaust, and you will get a response from the heart of human beings. And they write the book with their own hands. They write that they are exceptional, that they are above all other human beings. That God chose them and have a special fit, no matter what they do, that God will always be with them. They wrote that. So I'll move on now to the address, the Samson conspiracy. Okay.
So we're going to give you a comment of 30 pages. 30 is the number of days of the month. And it also is the time that it takes the moon to go through complete phase. Moon represents your social life, spiritual, social life. The moment you become spiritually hip to something, here comes a new moon. But only thing, this is not a new moon, this is a new sun. The time that it takes the moon to go through its phases, you get approximately 30 suns. Is that right? 30 suns. 30 bodies or 30 concepts of knowledge. Every time they catch you in one and light go out on that one, I'll show you how to bring a new knowledge, a new concept. And you'll come out in a different dress, and they'll accept you. This is the kingdom of the devil. This is Satan giving the Western world the kingdom of the devil. But actually, he's not giving them anything, because through his hidden tricks and knowledge, he is really the possessor of it. Let's continue now. 30 sheets, 30 changes. Another time we see Samson in his great role, he has the jawbone of an ass in his hand. And he's battling the army of the Philistines with the jawbone of the ass. All the meat is off the jawbone. Nothing but the bone. Now you understand that meat is higher knowledge. So with no higher knowledge, just live power. And tell me, don't these dumb preachers have a whole lot of dog power? I found myself in a vision, and I came out to preach the gospel of the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. They got some powerful dog bones with no meat of knowledge. And they're dumbasses. And leave that on the wire. It's not as hot as it sounds. Yeah. They're the dumbasses. see how come there devils a dog on them ass. The donkey is called a human animal. Stubborn as he can be. The leadership in the church, aren't they stubborn? You can talk to them with all kind of clear arguments. Oh, they don't want to move a jot. Oh, not going here. Go home. How do you get that point? Whose interpretation is that? Oh, bro, it's not a jot. Just like stubborn donkeys. But look, there is a Samson of knowledge body that has gone off from the original knowledge body. There is a Judaism that has gone off from the original Judaism, and it is now leading this double law. So the stupid preachers are really acting in accord with the trick in the knowledge. They are serving the purpose of the real, the purpose of the secret knowledge. And they are stubbornly resisting the light of truth. But look how mighty that body of knowledge was using those dumb preachers. He just slew the army of the Philistines. Beat them down mercifully. Mercilessly, pardon me. Yes, why? Because they had knowledge that the Philistines didn't have. And even though the knowledge was in real form and could be used by dumb preachers, it was so loaded with invisible arrows that plowed into the mind, plowed into the human sentiment, that you defeat an army with something that really ain't nothing but stupidity. And when you look closely at the so-called Trinitarian doctrine, in the way that they give it to the common people, it's stupidity. It's nothing but stupidity. But look how powerful it is. It brings kings and queens down to believe in it. Conquers, generals, kings and queens, bring all of them down with nothing but the jawbone of an ass. Now he said, out of the eaters comes meat. Letting them know that I'm going to show you that in this religion that you're eating is more than milk. The cow from which you get the milk has meat. And I'm going to make you the cow society. That wasn't the first time. Early in the history of these same people, didn't they worship the cow? It is called a golden cow. So they erected, had Aaron build for them the golden calf. That was before this introduction. So it was just a repeat. The repeating of an old trick that had been used before that came out of Egypt. Now, go on, it says, out of the strong come forth weakness. This jawbone that I'm going to give you, this stupid doctrine that I'm going to put into your hands as a knowledge, as a new sample, is going to make you strong. But ain't no strength going to come out of you. Sweetness going to come out of you. I'm going to make you Western people the sugar diabetes people. I'm going to make you the sweetest people on earth. You're going to be strong for my cause and sweet to my taste. And the Western people, the Western power, became strong for the hidden conspirator's aim and objective. But as a mighty nation, that France is not in knowledge, in that sweetness. We love everybody. We must defend human causes. We must fight for human dignity wherever it is threatened on this earth. Whether it be the communists that threaten it or the Muslims that threaten it, no matter who threatens it, we, the American people, our role is to come to the rescue. Study on the spot. Red Cross, White Cross, Peace Corps, wars fought to defend the dignity of strangers thousands of miles across the water from the homeland. Is that right? Yes. They even made you and me slaves in the name of human dignity. They didn't say they were reducing the African by putting him in chains. They said by putting him in chains, we are introducing him to Christianity, to Christ. We are going to make a Christian out of him. Sweet people. But look at the kind of sweetness they got. They used to be alive. Used to be alive. See, first, Samson destroys Goliath. He breaks his jaw. After he breaks his jaw, then he began to introduce this bargain to the people that he had already defeated. What does it mean when it says he broke his jaw, broke the lion's jaw, defeated the lion? It means that he conquered the knowledge of the European greatness. Their greatness was like the greatness of a lion. The strength of the lion is in his jaw and in his roar. He has a mighty roar. He uses his roar as a battle tactic. Like the lion that digs a hole with his paw, a deep hole, and then put his head down to the hole, mouth to the hole. And he roars in the hole, and it makes a great, like a horn. The sound comes back out of the hole like a horn, and it echoes, it roars. It makes the lion sound like he's the size of the moon or the size of the heaven. The big old elephant hear him roar and start running. So he wonder, what in the heck is, what kind of creature can make this kind of roar? And if you study the history, I know you're tired, but this is good for you. If you study the history of the European warrior, they use the strategy of fear. They try to provoke fear in you to weaken you so they could defeat you. The Roman army, they would beat with the sound of their march. And when they come at the enemy could hear in the distance, they're coming. And they were fighting even before they started soldiers. So the conspirators from the so-called Jewish people, they studied the Gentiles, and they found that they were more mouth than muscle. They found that they were people like savage people, that they showed the teeth. But really, if you just use human psychology and just take it easy and say, oh, little doggy, I'm not going to hurt you. Here is two dog biscuits for you. And see now start reducing. Pretty soon you're patting it on the head. After a while you're walking it down the street on a harness and leash. And they call the Gentile world the dog. The dog. It ain't nothing to him but his bark. I'm telling you. Now, let's go on. The song comes forth sweetness. They saw that this Gentile people is given a strong, powerful, subtle doctrine or ideology that they could become a great, strong people because they had the warlike nature, and they were people who were by habit given to threat, to make threats, to drop that terror into people. So they fit them because of many other attributes too they had. You don't have time to go through all these attributes that attracted these conspirators to the Gentile world. The main thing that attracted them was that the Gentiles had already taken over their land and government. Jerusalem was defeated by a Gentile. So here was their way of fighting the Gentiles. They didn't have armies to fight the Gentiles. They were.
I'm stopping right here because something came to my mind. You know, the Europeans were labeled as Huns, barbaric, savages, unrefined, but very, very violent, And there were those that knew how to harness that violence, to harness the violence of the Gentile people and use them in their scheme for domination. Let us corral these savage people. Let us manipulate their violence and their savagery to meet our ends. You see how in this country, we stand with Israel. Although we see the slaughter going on, we stand with them. They have our full support. They have turned the lion into their pup, into their pet, and using the Gentile as an instrument, as a violent instrument for world domination. I'll stop right there. Let me continue on with the address, the Samson conspiracy. But before we move forward, let me share with you a public service announcement. And I ask you, don't touch that dial. We'll be back in a while, God willing, inshallah. Hold on one moment as I cue it up. Okay, praise be to Allah. Okay, so I ask you, don't touch that dial. We'll be back in a while, God willing, inshallah, as we share with you these important public service announcements. Praise be to Allah.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Patricia Nitma Muhammad of Eyes on Our Community, asking you to join me in supporting CWSC and American Muslim 360 with your tax-deductible gift. Log on today at CWSC.us and click on the donate button or call in your pledge at 910-317-0297. Help build a national intelligentsia and let's keep American Muslim 360 strong and ready to remake the world. Thank you.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Attorney Edward Ahmed Mitchell, Executive Director of the Georgia Chapter of the Council on American-Islamic Relations and host of Care on Air, the Civil Rights Hour. I'd like to speak to you about something that strikes at the very heart of our family and community life. It's something that can stay hidden in homes and in communities for years, regardless of faith or religion or socioeconomic status. I want to talk to you about domestic abuse, violence against women in general, as well as the broader underlying issue of respect for women that the Me Too movement addresses and that helped us to see an even deeper and systemic, long-standing disrespect of women at many levels of our society, from the stockroom to the boardroom. To see real change, though, is to help move these injustices out of the dark and into the light. For that, we're going to need you and me, or a We Too movement, in which we say no more. We must also be willing to admit that the problem can exist even in your or my community. So talk to your imam and other counselors. Hold workshops in your community. Invite in experts to learn more and talk about it in individual conversations. We want respect for our mothers, wives, daughters, sisters, and all the women in our society, and that means equal protection and equal respect for their intellect, their work, and their total person. So what are you willing to do? The public service message from the Community Wide Share Conference and AM 360.
And we are back. You're listening to the broadcast of the Evolution of Revolutionary Thought and Creative Purpose. I am your host this morning, along with you, Kareem Hamid, as we share an address delivered by our beloved Imam Wahiduddin Muhammad Rahimahullah Alayhi, entitled The Samson Conspiracies. May we have our thinking caps on. This gets quite heavy. Well, anyway, we'll move forward with this address. Okay.
To few, the only weapon was tricks, psychology. Psychology, tricks. So they used that to usurp the power of the Gentile people and got into power. So they were really seeking a place. In fact, Jerusalem never was established by the conspirators. It was established by good people too. But the conspirators never established Jerusalem to serve as any geographic line for them. Never to serve as a physical geography marking where they are supposed to be. And I can show you in scripture that is what I'm saying, if you had time. But this is not all, this is not in this talk, and I'm going off in the talk now. They always plan to take over the whole world. Their plan from the very beginning was to take over the whole world. Jerusalem was just a little place there, serving a purpose in that whole strategy. And Muslims that support that idea of them having any legal right, religion giving them a right to land, are not Muslims. Why? Because Allah says to us, the earth belongs to God. The earth is God. The earth belongs to Allah. And he may inherit it whomsoever he pleases. And he says that only my righteous servants shall inherit it. So it's not given to people because of any special favor to their race or to their ancestors. God gives it because you earned it in your morals. You earned it in being obedient to his will, to his teaching. Those who follow religion best are the ones best qualified to exert some kind of authority to own a land, to possess a land. And you're never supposed to take people out of a land who have already been settled in a land. those who are settled in the land have the rights of the land. Because they have been developing the land, they have been working the land, they have invested in the land, they have the rights of the land. There's no justification ever to take people up out of their land. God never told Prophet Muhammad to take people out of their land. He said, carry them the light of truth, not to take them up out of their land. Let's go on now. Samson's own strength was in his hair. His strength was in his hair. And hair, again, is symbolic of knowledge. What kind of knowledge? Religious knowledge. The hair of a human being comes one color, and with age, it becomes white. It's symbolic of religious knowledge. Religious knowledge comes to us to form in us light of understanding and moral excellence, which is symbolic of white. Light and moral excellence, you see. But it shouldn't turn white in the end to it. This kind of knowledge should come to you first, like this. But the hair is used to show that this is not the divine revealed knowledge. This is a human way of coming into all development. The human being comes into the world, and he gets this good advice from his mother. But if he's lucky, it's with age that he matures spiritually and morally and become a truly spiritual and moral person. So white hair comes with age, doesn't it? White hair comes with age. And it's generally those people who have grown old that really become serious about God, about spiritual devotion, and about moral excellence. The young follow it because they fear the wrath of the law. They fear to disobey what the society or what their immediate society has expected for them. But the old accept it because they love it. I'm talking about the true ones. When they become with age, they learn that this fast life is not all to it. They learn that they're higher value. And they take on the whiteness of spiritual knowledge and high morals. Is that right? But does God want us to wait till we get old to do that? God wants us to do that early. So this hair symbolism is really a Jacobite symbolism. Yes. Moses' beard is what got him in trouble. When he had led the people astray, Aaron's beard, when he had led the people astray, Moses came down in anger and he seized them by the hair of his head. Is that right? Which meant that it was his hair that got him in trouble. Well, there's a lot to it. Okay, we have time to go over all of it. Let's keep trying to move on with it. Seven locks. L-O-C-K-S. You need a key to open a lock. His strength was in this, that his knowledge was locked up. Seven locks of hair. His knowledge wasn't exposed to other people. And the moment he exposed it to the Lila whom he trusted, he lost his strength. Is that right? Yes. All right, let's continue now. Seven locks. Yes. Those the locks we understand is a secret knowledge. Secret knowledge that runs the course. If a knowledge that runs the course, it is to be repeated. Because once it runs the course, it can't keep going. You have to start it back over again. You start with do. Re, mi, fa, do, la, ti. When you get to T, that's the cross. Now you can't keep going with the cross. You have to bring in do again. So you bring in communism. Or something else. and you start the world all over again. Do, re, mi, fa, so, la, ti. And you bring them to worship the Jacobite again. And when they catch up with him, can't keep the tea on, got to stop the worship of the Jacobite. But start the world all over again with a new knowledge. Do, re, and all the way up to T again. So you keep going from one knowledge that is invented by the Jacobite conspirators that leads you to the worship of the Jacobite. Once you catch on to them, that you're worshiping them, they create another knowledge that brings you right to the same place again. So this is the seventh law, the person that was his strength. But he fell in love so much with Delilah. Delilah is sin and darkness. Samson got weak. He fell in love with the hell he had created for the Gentiles. Delilah wasn't meant for him to fall in love with. He wasn't supposed to love Delilah. He was supposed to marry a different girl. But he ended up falling in love with Delilah that he didn't really want. He didn't want Delilah. But Delilah kept putting herself in his way. Why? Because he was raising a whole lot of hell in the world, and hell got so thick in the world that even Samson couldn't escape it. So sin and corruption came even against Samson. And the Jewish boy started getting in the field. And the Jewish girl started going astray. And pretty soon, the Jewish community gets this disorder. Oh, yeah. In love with the corruption that they created for other people. So what they got to do now? Well, do they? Darkness takes off the lock. Once the Jewish conspirators get weak for the sins of the wicked environment that they themselves form, then they begin to lay out secrets to the people in the sinful environment. They become drunk with the corruption that they create. And they lose fortitude or composure. They lose the composure. They lose the ability to hold in what they shouldn't let out. And they begin to let out, not by word all the time, by their actions, by their mannerisms. The darker side begin to peek their whole card. Whoa, I see something. Yeah, you get too intimate. Somebody's going to do something. You see? So the people see. When the people see, then they expose the Jacobite scheme. When the Jacobite scheme is exposed, they have no strength. They become like ordinary people. Have no supernatural strength anymore. And their knowledge then is just on a level with our knowledge. So they are in the dark with us. They see no more than we see. So he becomes blind. Samson became blind. He had no superior eyesight. There was no more than the blindness of the society because they had got his special knowledge. You understand? All right. He's blind now. And the world began to use him. Not because they forced it on him. It looked like Samson was forced to do this. That's all sin. No. He has no other recourse. He has no other way. No other alternative. They know my secret now. My secret wisdom is of no power to me. Now what I'll do is show them that I'm falling out.
Okay. I'm checking the studio board to see if anyone has any statements they would like to make. The imam is dealing with Samson becoming blind. They put his eyes out. The scripture says they heated up iron. They heated up iron and put Samson's eyes out. The iron represents materialism. Materialism, you leave your high standards and high moral nature for the accumulation of material accumulation. They become materialist, and they lose the discipline that the moral values was incorporating within them. They put Samson's eyes out. They enticed him with materialism. I'm opening up the mic now of Ericle 727-741. Please state, this is Martha Mayela Abdullah. Assalamu alaikum,
yes.
Martha.
Alaikum assalam. I'm calling from St. Petersburg, Florida. And to Imam, I'm going to go to the bottom line if I can, and just clarify for myself as well. After hearing that the Muslim world, the Muslim presents a problem when you mentioned about the DeLacy, when he mentioned about the PAC, the Political Action Committee that received the message from the Israel Prime Minister, I believe. Well, either way, it's not only being spoken of in that manner, but now that we know behind the scene, as the man was bringing out, all of this manipulative language and the overall global manipulation. And here we stand, calling on Allah, asking Allah for guidance. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has afforded us the guidance and understanding to a degree. Now, keep the balance, just knowing that the spiritual and the material, as you were going into the material gain of wealth or so forth, in Quran, as now we're getting into beyond the, and forgive me, everyone, as I say beyond, I'm speaking of not just reading for surface reading, but reading how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to be able to manage the life and see how Allah has seen the schemes of shaitan. And operating against those schemes first diligently and stabilizing our thinking so that we're not emotionally unmoved or unearthed. So I'm just looking at the idea of continuing in the mode with the five pillars, with the beliefs, and at the same time understanding the need to have a connection with the Quran and understand. I can't get away from now expressing the movement of the Hijra and the understanding of that from Mecca to Medina and then back to Mecca. There's a lot in that to keep ourselves connected with that oneness and keeping trust in Allah. So I won't go into detail. But I'll stop right there. Thank you so much, Imam. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam, Martha. Thank you. Praise be to Allah. As Muslims, we know that the revelation is not just revealed so that we be just good people. We just be just goody two-shoes and ignore the knowledge and the wisdom underlying revelation, that there is science attached to your religious commitment. There is knowledge, rational, intelligent knowledge, not just being good and ignore our obligation and responsibility to manage this earth, to manage the earth, whereby everyone's focus in certain religious disciplines, everyone's focus is on themselves. I want to get to Jannah. I want to get to heaven. I am saved. I have salvation. That is a a childish. I don't mean to devalue moral excellence at all, but that is the first step toward gaining the higher knowledge that is contained in the revelation. That you first have to be disciplined. It is the heart that feeds the mind. If the heart is correct, then the heart can open up the valuable content of the human brain, the human mind. It's just not about singing songs and feeling good. It's about constructing and arranging the environment to feed the potential that God has placed in every human being and lead them to higher and higher understanding and higher levels of knowledge for its practical use to benefit not just myself, but to benefit the whole of mankind. Revelation is not revealed just so we get a happy moment or we feel good. No, there is a second responsibility that comes along with that. Know that this battle is waged over who shall control, who will have management over the creation, over the creation. We should not ignore that, that this is a battle, a war. We are at war, and we did not declare the war. The war was declared upon us by Satan, by the Satan that is making war against the human being. And religion has been used, matter of fact, one of the statements of the communist thinkers were, based upon their perception and their vision of religion, they said that religion is the opiate, is the drug of the poor. It gives them a peaceful feeling. And that's as far as it goes. It makes them feel good. And because there is not intelligence connected to that, they are open prey to be exploited, from those that have a higher knowledge and a higher purpose of religious revelation. Praise be to Allah. So, okay, I'm going to move forward with this address entitled The Samson Conspiracy.
Provide more corn than their ox. I'm going to get at the wheels of their economy. I'm going to get at the wheels of their academic knowledge schools of thought. And I'm going to show them that I can produce more fine flour of academic knowledge. I can produce more fine flour of enlightenment. I will show them that I can produce what they want. And they won't kill me, they'll keep me as their workhorse, their ox, to grind the fine flour for. So he goes from one conspiracy to another one. He goes underground like the mafia and the Ku Klux Klan sometimes. And you say, oh, I don't see him anymore. They must be gone. He ain't gone. He's just grinding flour. He's going to make bread all over again. And when he makes his bread, he will start again with dough. And he'll go to Raymi Fonso Lati. So he can't see any more than you. But he knows how to grind the flour. And he has a dress of art. So he grinds the flour of knowledge. And he works with you in your blind world, in the darkness right with you. But in time, he rises to to the superior physician. He has made him some flour that is special. Oh, yeah. And he's going to make him some dough that is special. And pretty soon, he's going to have all the bread. And when he gets the bread, he's going to have the power. And then he'll bring in grain. And then after he bring in rain, the world will come back to him. He will have me again. And he'll bring it all back up to Fafalaki. And when he gets to see, he'll have the world worshiping the Jacobite again. And this thing continues over and over again. An endless circle. This is the true knowledge of the secret conspiracy. Not from the protocols of Zion. This is straight from the Hadji's mouth. And you'll find four horses in the Bible. Now, let's continue here. What is the role symbolic of? You recall? Symbolic of the way you use the knowledge. The dress, symbolic of the way you use the knowledge. The seat is the knowledge. The pages, the script. Remember now, when Jesus was crucified, he lost his robe. And they gambled to see who was possessing him. Now, if you understand the meaning of robe, you can understand that this world doesn't have the true knowledge, the true use of the knowledge that Jesus gave them. The knowledge was just was lost from Jesus' body. And it fell in the hands of crooked sinners to gamble for it. Not only that, the silver cup, the special cup, it was lost too. This tells us not only the proper use of the knowledge was lost, but also the moral holiness was lost from the religion. Silver chalice, I think they call it. What do you call it? I think it is called silver chalice. It is wrong. But it's Christianity. So how do you explain this? Ask the preacher, say the preacher, next Sunday morning at 11 o'clock. Ask him, say, preacher, please tell me what does it mean in Christianity when it says that they lost the silver chalice, the silver cup. As a teacher, how can we have the crown of Jesus in this city, what is called Huron, in Huron, when the Bible says that his robe fell into the hands of sinners and they gambled to see who was possessing? So how can they have his robe there? If they had it, sinners gave it to him. And if the sinners bring it up, it wasn't fit to wear. That robe wasn't fit to wear. After it fell into the hands of sinners, who want to wear it?
Okay. I'm checking the studio board once more to see if there's anyone that would like to share at this time. Praise be to Allah. Okay. What came across my mind is the portion in the Bible where it says, on the return of Christ, that he shall wage war on the wicked until the blood reaches the horse's bridle. The horse's bridle. You know, the blood is symbolic of the spiritual nature, the spirituality, the spiritual nature of the human being. The bridle represents control. You control the horse through its bridle. That is that apparatus that there's a bit placed in the horse's mouth. And if you pull to the left, it puts pressure on the horse's jaw and he goes to the left or the right. That is controlling the spirit. That God, that inshallah, on the return of Christ, which is symbolic, he shall break that control. that others have over your spiritual life. They're controlling your spiritual nature and enslaving the human being because someone has control of the spiritual nature, the bridle of the horse. The horse is a spirited animal. It is known for as a spirited animal. So whoever controls your spirituality, whoever controls your spirituality, your perception, how you feel, how you express, how you think, they control you. But when the truth has come, it says that it shall slay the wicked till the spirituality is broken at the horse's bridle, where the spirit is no longer controlled by the sinners, the wicked of this world. I see someone has raised their hand. I'm going to open up. Okay. They lowered their hand. Don't be afraid to share, please. I truly look forward. This is a study session. We want to discuss the pertinent parts and of interest contained in these lectures. And I invite you to share what Almighty God has blessed you with these connections that Imam Muhammad is making. And we look forward to the connections that you offer also concerning this address, the Samson conspiracy. We shall return back to the address, and I invite you to press one on your phone when you wish to share. Okay?
Bring all the knowledge of the European greatness. Their greatness was like the greatness of a lion. The strength of the lion is in his jaw. He has a mighty roar. He uses his roar as a battle tactic.
I'm moving it forward. We went through that, okay, earlier. I'm moving it forward. I hope I begin where we left off.
Jerusalem was defeated by a Gentile. So here was their way of fighting the Gentiles. They didn't have armies to fight the Gentiles. They were too few. Their only weapon was trick, psychology. Psychology, schemes. Tricks. So they use that to usurp the power of the Gentile people and got into power. So they were really seeking a place. And in fact, Jerusalem never was established by the conspirators. It was established by good people too. But the conspirators never established Jerusalem to serve as any geographic line for them, never to serve as a physical geography marking where they are supposed to be. And I can show you in scripture that's what I'm saying, if you have time. But this is not all, this is not in this talk, and I'm going off in the talk now. They always plan to take over the whole world. Their plan from the very beginning was to take over the whole world. Jerusalem was just a little place there, serving a purpose in that whole strategy. And Muslims that support that idea of them having any legal right, religion giving them a right to land, are not Muslims. Why? Because Allah says to us, the earth belongs to God. The earth is God. The earth belongs to Allah. And he may inherit it whomsoever he pleases. And he says that only my righteous servants shall inherit it. So it's not given to people because of any special favor to their race or to their ancestors. God gives it because you earned it in your morals. You earned it in being obedient to his will, to his teaching. Those who follow religion. God to exert some kind of authority to own a land, to possess a land. And you're never supposed to take people out of the land who have already been settled in a land. Those who are settled in the land have the right to the land because they have been developing the land, they have been working the land, they have invested in the land, they have the right to the land. There's no justification ever to take people up out of their land. God never told Prophet Muhammad to take people out of their land. He said, carry them the light of truth, not to take them up out of their land. Let's go on now. They learn that they're higher value, and they take on the whiteness of spiritual knowledge and high morals. Is that right? But the fact that God wants us to wait till we get old to do that? God wants us to do that early. So this half symbolism is really a Jacobite symbolism. Yes. Moses' beard is what got him in trouble. When he had led the people astray, Aaron's beard. When he had led the people astray, Moses came down in anger and he seized them by the hair of his head. Is that right? Which meant that it was his hair that got him in trouble. Well, there's a lot to it. Okay, I don't have time to go over all of it. Let's keep trying to move on with it. Seven locks. L-O-C-K-S. You need a key to open a lock. His strength was in this, that his knowledge was locked up. Seven locks of hair. His knowledge wasn't exposed to other people. And the moment he exposed it to the liar whom he trusted, he lost his strength. Is that right? Yes. All right, let's continue now. Seven locks. Yes. So the locks we understand is a secret knowledge. Secret knowledge that runs the course. It's a knowledge that runs the course and is to be repeated. Because once it runs the course, it can't keep going. You have to start it back over again. You start with do. Re, mi, fa, so, la, ti. When you get to T, that's the cross. Now you can't keep going with the cross. You have to bring in do again, so you bring in communism or something else. And you start the world all over again. Do, re, mi, fa, so, la, ti. And you bring them to worship the Jacobite again. And when they catch up with him, can't keep the key on, got to stop the worship of the Jacobite. But start the world all over again with a new knowledge. Go, right, and all the way up to T again. So you keep going from one knowledge that is invented by the Jacobite conspirators that leads you to the worship of the Jacobite. Once you catch on to them, that you're worshiping them, they create another knowledge that brings you right to the same place again. So this is the seven locks, the person that was his strength. But he fell in love so much with Delilah. Delilah is sin and darkness. Samson got weak. He fell in love with the hell he had created for the Gentile. Delilah wasn't meant for him to fall in love with. He wasn't supposed to love Delilah. He was supposed to marry a different girl. But he ended up falling in love with Delilah that he didn't really want. Delilah. But Delilah kept putting herself in his way. Why? Because he was raising a whole lot of hell in the world, and hell got so thick in the world that even Samson couldn't escape it. So sin and corruption came even against Samson. And the Jewish boy started getting in the field. And the Jewish girl started going astray. And pretty soon, the Jewish community gets this disorder. Oh, yeah. In love with the corruption that takes off the lock. Once the Jewish conspirators get weak for the sins of the wicked environment that they themselves have, then they begin to let out secrets to the people in the sinful environment. They become drunk with the corruption that they create, and they lose fortitude or composure. They lose the composure. They lose the ability to hold in what they shouldn't let out. And they begin to let out, not by word all the time, by their actions, by their mannerisms. The doctor guys begin to peek their whole card. Whoa, I see something. Yeah, you get too intimate. Somebody's going to do something. You see? So the people see. When the people see, then they expose the Jacobite scheme. When the Jacobite scheme is exposed, they have no strength. They become like ordinary people. Have no supernatural strength anymore. And their knowledge then is just on a level with our knowledge. So they are in the dark with us. They see no more than we see. So he become blind. Samson became blind. He had no superior eyesight. There was no more than the blindness of the society because they had gotten special knowledge. You understand? All right. He's blind now, and the world began to use him. Not because they forced it on him. It looked like Samson was forced to do this. That's all true. No. He has no other record. He has no other way, no other alternative. They know my secret now. My secret wisdom is of no power to me. Now what I'll do is show them that I'm stronger than them. I can grind more corn than their ox. I'm going to get at the wheels of their economy. I'm going to get at the wheels of their academic knowledge schools of thought. And I'm going to show them that I can produce more fine flour of academic knowledge. I can produce more fine flour of enlightenment. I will show them that I can produce what they want. And they won't kill me. They'll keep me as their workhorse, their ox, to grind the fine flour for. So go from one conspiracy to another one. He goes underground like the mafia and the Ku Klux Klan sometimes. And you say, oh, I don't see him anymore. They must be gone. He ain't gone. He's just grinding flour. He's going to make bread all over again. And when he made his bread, he will start again with dough. And he was going to raise me for so long too. To grind the flour, and he has a strength of ox. So he grinds the flour of knowledge, and he works with you in your blind world, in the dark and light with you. But in time, he rises to the superior position. He has made him some flour that is special. Oh, yeah. And he's going to make him some dough that is special. And pretty soon, he's going to have all the bread. And when he gets the bread, he's going to have the power. And then he'll bring in rain. And then after he bring in rain, the world will come back to him. He will have me again. And he'll bring it all back up to Fossilati. And when he gets to see, you have the world worshiping the Jacobite again. And this thing continues over and over again. An endless circle. This is the true knowledge of the secret Jacobite conspiracy. from the protocols of science. This is straight from the horse's mouth. And you'll find four horses in the Bible. Now, let's continue here. What is the role symbolic of? Do you recall? Symbolic of the way you use the knowledge. The dress, symbolic of the way you use the knowledge. The seat is the knowledge. The pages, the script. Remember now, when Jesus was crucified, he lost his role. And they gambled to see who would possess his role. Now, if you understand the meaning of role, then you can understand that this world doesn't have the true knowledge, the true use of the knowledge that Jesus gave them. The knowledge was just was lost from Jesus' body. And it fell in the hands of crooked sinners who gambled for it. Not only that, the silver cup, the special cup, it was lost too. The silver, not only the proper use of the knowledge was lost, but also the moral cleanliness was lost from the religion. Silver chalice, I think they call it. Is that what they call it? I think it is called silver chalice. It was wrong from Christianity. So how do you explain this? Ask the preacher, say the preacher, next Sunday morning at 11 o'clock. Ask him, say, preacher, please tell me what does it mean in Christianity when it says that they lost the silver talent, the silver cup. Ask the preacher, how can they have the rock, the crown of Jesus in this city, what is it called? Hearing, and hearing, when the Bible says that his role fell into the hands of sinners, and they gambled to see who would possess it. So how can they have his role there? If they had it, sinners gave it to them. And if the sinners gave it up, it wasn't fit to wear. That role wasn't fit to wear. After it fell into the hands of sinners, who wanted to wear it? Let's continue now. It says, he gave them another riddle. And this riddle is, what is sweeter than honey? And what is stronger than a lion? So he gave two riddles. In fact, four parts to it. Second one is, what is sweeter than honey? What is stronger than a lion? All right? We know honey means the beauty of pure sister. How do we know this? We know it because in the Quran, this word is used. Honey is a good word for sister. And the honey is the essence of the flowers. And flowers are symbolic of beautiful culture. What is sweeter than the beauty that God offers you? What is sweeter than the sweetness that you find in God's pure sister? That's what he's telling us. And what is stronger than a lion? What he's telling them that the East have honey. They have the beauty of God's revelation. And you have prayer from a liar. I got something to make you stronger. And I got something to give you to make your doctrine sweeter than their honey. You see these things? Yes, it's wrong. So he gave them that you the Gentile world, the doctrine of love, the love of Christ, that was sweeter than the moral and spiritual teachings to weak people, than the pure teachings of the prophets. It's sweeter to them that God loves you sinners so much that he gave his only begotten son, that he should be torn, mocked, spit on, tortured, crucified, and die and be buried for your sin. Oh, that speaks to ignorant weak people, greater than the truth of God's scripture. So he says, what is greater than honey? This lie I'm going to give you is greater than the pure honey of scripture that the bees have. And what is stronger than a liar? This subtle psychology in this lie that captures the heart and sentiment of the song, the wild and ferocious, is more powerful than your fear tactics, than your marching, than your armor and sword. Telling the European, I'm going to make you more powerful with this stone doctrine than you ever could be with your physical might and your fear tactics. Now let us see if we go on with this and get to our understanding. Samson, finally, decided that he was going to destroy the world that he himself had created. Do you understand it now? He decided that he himself was going to destroy the Philistines. They had cheated him out of his heifer. I'm talking about right now. The Christian church that he thought would be his helper betrayed him. Say, oh, you can have business, you can have media, you can have this, but you ain't going to run out of church. The Gentile don't want no Jews over there, church. If you want to have something, you can have Peter. Go and tutor the Pope in secrecy. He'll accept it. But these ordinary Gentiles ain't going to accept it, no Jews. Groom over there. But you mean to tell me you ain't going to give me my help up? But why don't you do this? Can't you all do it through me? Can't you carry out my orders? No, we can't do it. They ain't going to listen to it. Well, very good. Well then, can I tell you what kind of doctrine you should give to the masses that won't follow Peter? Yes, it's okay. All right, I'm going to make bread again. I'm going to get on the wheel. And I'm going to make Marxism. I'm going to make communism. I'm going to make the age of reason. I'm going to exalt logic. I'll give them some new flour. Is that okay? Well, that's okay, as long as you don't take over the church. No, I won't bother the church. Okay, go on to the wheel again, that's okay. Now, listen. After all that, he still was not satisfied. Is that right? Yeah, look at the story now. Don't remember. He still ain't satisfied. So he said, I'm blind, but I got something that they don't know I got. I got special power in my arm. All I want to do is just have somebody throw me to the pillar of the foundation of that society. And if I just can get to the two pillars that hold up the structure of that society, I'm going to bring it down on me and them. So Samson goes and stands between the two pillars with the help of a little boy. He couldn't see, but he used the help of a little boy. What is the help of that little boy? Psychology.
Okay. I'm returning back to the studio board. Uh-oh. Yeah, here we go. Praise be to Allah. we've only got 1 minute left of broadcast time. What we are experiencing now, that is first all the way back there. We see the structures of this society being threatened, the standards, the institutions that have upheld this nation. And it seems, and there is a plan to destroy what has been created. The Imam Muhammad shared with us years ago that their plan is to tear this down and rebuild it all over again. I've been informed that I've only got 60 seconds of broadcast time left, so I invite you to tune back in to American Muslim 360 for the broadcast of Preparing to Make It in the Land of Plenty, hosted by Imam Dinesi Umar. So tune back in after this broadcast for Preparing to Make It in the Land of Plenty. I leave you with the greetings of peace. Of Assalamu alaikum. Alhamdulillah.
By virtue of extraordinary and consistent sharing with the American Muslim 360 listenership of unique cultural arts in the form of poetry that appeals to the intellect, heart, and ear, and by a superior ability to uncannily construct poetic pieces almost immediately by capturing the spirit and letter of